Welcome to episode 27 of Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie and I'll be bringing you the news, reviews, interviews and recommendations of the latest must-see theatre online. We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone and where to find the best theatrical entertainment during the lockdown. We'll be bringing you the latest developments and press announcements in the world of theatre in these unprecedented times. A little bit of background on me. So I acted professionally after graduating from Warwick University and Drama School. I've been teaching drama, head of arts faculty and director of drama in four very different secondary school settings for 18 years. I'm keen for the creative process of Theatre Audience Podcast to be quite organic and interactive in light of theatres sadly remaining closed for the foreseeable future. So please join me on Instagram live at 5 every Thursday, where I chat about the week's theatrical events with my friend and producer, Darren Murphy. I've recently set up Theatre Audience Podcast YouTube channel, where you can watch recordings of each live at 5 in full. Feel free to contact me and discuss all things theatrical on Facebook and Twitter. This is my Theatre in Quarantine series of podcasts. During the lockdown, every day I'm discovering new theatrical morsels online. So in this episode, I'm going to keep you informed of my finds and let you know what's coming up. So here's Darren Murphy and I chatting on Instagram Live at 5 about all things stagey. Shakespeare Company, they released Romeo and Juliet. That was on Sunday. I think it was a one-off. I watched it on Sunday at 9 p.m. I was very dedicated. And I'd done an interview with Karen Fishwick, who played Juliet in it. And so we had a nice chat, and that's on the most recent podcast. Coriolanus, did you see that? I watched the first half, but I had lots of other marking and bits and bobs to do.
Okay.
But I did enjoy it. But I kind of used it more as a bit of audio, you know, whilst doing other bits and bobs.
Okay.
And then coming up, this one I'm excited about is the Bridge Theatre Midsummer Night's Dream. You saw that as well, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I saw it.
We
yes.
love that.
It was so good. It was so good.
Love that. And I do remember them filming it, actually, because I nearly got tickets on that day. And they were. I'm aware that they were filming it from several different angles, because obviously it was kind of promenade in the... It was brilliant. I loved that. I would love that to come back, actually, because I think it's that kind of Shakespeare that young people need to see and experience. But a promenade... a promenade theatre at the moment, not even less likely than anything else. So that comes out on the 25th of June. And then National Theatre tonight, we've got Madness of George III, the Alan Bennett.
I want to see that.
That looks really good.
Well, Mark Gatiss is a friend, so I didn't get to see it when he did it, so I definitely need to see it. Then I can message you and say, I've finally seen you as King George.
Oh, well, let's watch that. If nothing else, let's watch that this week, and then we can talk about it next week, and you'll have to put me in touch with your mate, and then I can maybe do a little interview for the podcast. That'd be great. And then Amadeus, that I saw at the National, is out on the 16th of July.
Did you like it? I didn't...
No, I really like the play. I've used it several times for student like scene studies, because there's some really great characterisation.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was tired that day. I wasn't feeling very well. But... And I thought it was great having the whole sort of symphony orchestra on stage. I thought that was lovely.
Yeah, that was good.
But it just didn't do it for me. It was very long. The Amadeus that I saw at the Old Vic, I mean, we're talking, I think I might have even been 20, so we're talking about half a lifetime ago. That was superb. That's when I first sort of came across the play, and I do love the play because I think Peter Schaefer writes incredibly well. And I love his versatility and the different plays that he wrote in his lifetime. So yeah, that's my roundup. Mm-hmm. You can find our full conversation on IGTV or go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. There you can also find my conversation with Maddie Bullimant, who plays Anne of Cleves in Six the Musical. Now onto the main interview. In this episode, I chat with Gareth Snook, who I interviewed backstage at Bristol Old Vic in episode 17 on Romantics Anonymous. We chatted about life under lockdown, the recent live streaming of Phantom of the Opera, Cats, Les Miserables, Wise Children, and countless other productions he's appeared in. Here's our conversation.
Hello!
Hello! Good morning, how are you?
Listen, I'm so old, I'm used to a tin can and a line of string. Okay? So, you know.
And letters and stamps.
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing an interview via letters? You know, I write a question, I send it.
No, hey. Yeah. But you've got to get up to speed on this thing, you know.
I know.
The only way forward.
It's so exciting. Moving with the time, I've learned so much. It's insane. Teaching online, I mean, that's new. You sort of ask a question and then you're like...
Yeah.
And then someone's microphone comes on and they answer. It's hilarious.
Isn't it? Yeah. It certainly isn't the same.
No, it's not. It's like, let me out of my skin.
How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I think it's been really advantageous that the weather has been lovely. I must admit. I'm lucky to have the luxury of a garden. I'm aware that many people don't have that luxury. And it just makes a difference being able to, you know, walk to the park and just get some space.
Yeah. I'm really lucky as well with all that. I'm surrounded by big commons and open spaces, so you know, I can cycle and walk. So it makes a huge difference.
Oh, massively.
You know. Yeah.
So I mean, and you keep popping up on everything.
But you know what? It was hilarious because suddenly from nowhere, you know, Wise Children was on the BBC iPlayer, and then they started showing Phantom, and then this guy started sending snapshots of old programs of shows that I'd been in. I thought I was watching my online obituary. I thought, am I dead? I thought, it was hilarious.
Did I just die? And this is all just visuals. Hilarious. Oh my God. It must have been a bit of a blast in the past because I saw you pop up in, it was Phantom of the Opera. And I mean, that was that the 25th anniversary?
Yeah. The one we did at the Albert Hall, and Universal filmed it, you know. So Andrew Lloyd Webber decided to... show it for free on his YouTube channel.
And his shows must go on.
I thought, well, he could have asked the royalty owners first.
Yes.
So, Andrew, if you're listening.
Yeah. It's good to have the coverage, obviously, but in these times of lockdown, royalties.
No, it's great for theatre folk, you know, to see these things. It's really important for us as well to keep everybody in the loop, to remind people that theatre is just on pause. It's not dead, you know.
Exactly.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah. And then you popped up. I was just scrolling through YouTube and I found the 10th anniversary of Les Mis. I was like, oh, there's a 10th and a 20th and a 25th. And I was like, oh, and then the concert version. So I've just been like, you know, like the Netflix box set. I've been working my way through the Les Mis's of the past.
Well, it's great fun, isn't it? Yeah. That all this content has been out there, you know, for people. You know, it's great. Yeah.
So that's brilliant. And then Wise Children, obviously, which I Loved the old Vic back in, was that 2018?
That was 2018, yeah. God. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I was having a chat with Emma Rice. You know, she does these, she's been doing these tea and biscuits with Emma Rice.
Yeah,
on their radio station. Mm. And so I had an hour's chat with her on it. And, you know, it's amazing for a company that's only 2 years old.
Yes.
Oh, just over.
Yeah.
2 years old. The content and the way, I mean, the company has blossomed brilliantly in that time. So that was, really impressive.
Yeah, well, there's so much work. And it was lovely because, you know, as you know, I'm an absolute fan of Wise Children and obviously Knee High before. And, it's just lovely to see some of the content because Mallory Towers would have been on round about now.
It would have been touring.
So, and was it going to be at the Royal Albert Hall or have I imagined that?
No.
No,
I can't remember the theatres. It was a regional tour.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is nice, seeing little snippets from, like, rehearsal to performance.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That was great, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. So it was great to see those clips, and obviously little reminders of Romantics Anonymous.
I know.
So tell me, were you, because I saw you, I think it was the penultimate show back in February at the Bristol Old Vic, and then you were going off on the US tour. Did Set make it across and you guys got did it work?
Well, we were due to fly out on the Tuesday. On the Sunday. And on the Tuesday, we got an email from the American producer to say that the LA had shut their doors, which was our first venue.
Yeah.
And the theatre had shut up shop way, way before any of the government guidelines had gone out, you know, so they're independently shut the theatre. So everybody was going, what? This was before the world collapsed, you know. Mm. So I think we were like one of the first casualties of it actually. Yeah. So the other venues like Washington, D.C. and South Carolina were quite angry, actually, because they thought, well, this is going to affect the whole tour.
Yeah.
And until the world woke up and realized what was happening, you know. So that was the Tuesday, and the set was on the Atlantic somewhere, going across to LA. So I felt really sorry for the producer. I felt sorry for myself,
and
everybody. But I felt very, very sorry for Wise Children, for Jason, the American producer, the theatres over there. You know, it was a tremendous amount of work went into it, as you can imagine.
Planning and preparation.
And the preparation, yeah. So, we should be in South Carolina now.
Yeah, because when we last spoke back in Feb, that was you were having a month or a couple of weeks? There was a gap, wasn't there? And then you were like, and then I'm off, and that was exciting.
That's
and
right.
I was like, and hopefully it'll come to the Old Vic when you come back.
Well, we didn't know. We thought maybe somewhere might. But, you know, I like to think that maybe it's just a pause, you know.
Oh, definitely.
I hope so.
Well, definitely. Well, you know, I think, you know, with all of these shows, they're phenomenal. And the fact that they have been planned as a tour, it means that, you know, that set, as long as it's being stored somewhere safely, you know, can just go somewhere, wherever that may be in the world or the UK.
Exactly. And the theatres, the theatre in LA, DC, and the festival in South Carolina are so, so keen. Mm. And they know Emma's work, Emma's plays and shows have been there before, so they're so keen on it. Our fingers are crossed that they'll schedule us in when everything goes back to some kind of normality.
If nothing else, just put it in February because it's Romantics Anonymous, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that would
everyone
be nice.
and it will be, you know, by February we should have theatre back as we would want it, i.e. we're not hopefully sat, you know, four
that's
seats
never
apart
gonna
and it's
that's
you know without the atmosphere of theatre and you know
it's just never going to work because it's not just the audience.
No.
You know, when people talk about the theatre, so how can the audience sit And you're thinking, well,
how can the performers
perform? But well, how can the actors act?
Mm. That's the difference between, isn't it? Auditioning.
I'd love to see somebody doing Romeo and Juliet.
No.
With 2 meters distancing, that would be electric, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, really, really electric. But also, you know, even if the actors are tested for corona and allowed to touch on stage, you know, looking out, that's the difference, isn't it, between having that dress rehearsal and getting the show up to speed and then having that opening night when the audience come in and you feed off the energy of the audience and it's an organic thing.
That's right.
It's the difference. And, you know, someone suggested to me, you know, well, couldn't they just have an invited audience, just a few rows and record a lot more things like they have with National Theatre Live? So not like an archive recording, but an actual, that we're recording it for, you know, consuming at home.
That's right.
And I was like, yeah, but it defeats the purpose of what theatre actually is in its true essence. And it's like me, I'm in limbo, just, you know, on a completely different scale, but, you know, summer production, that's not happening for the school kids and they're all so disappointed. And then you're like, well, what can we do? We want to plan, but yet we don't know what eventuality we're planning for. So is it easier to do like a showcase rather than actually trying to put a whole show together? Probably, you know, so it's a bit... Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's so... you know, and we literally just have to wait. Mm. I mean, isn't it? It's just a waiting game.
Yeah. Really. But it's amazing to see all this positive stuff that has come. There was a lull. There was a kind of... Everyone was so... down, and I think, you know, everyone's up and down all the time during this, but it is wonderful to see things like you say, the sort of Wise Children Digital has come out of this, and I was looking, she's got a summer school. Do you know much about that?
It looks, well, I mean, I don't know an enormous amount about it apart from the fact that they do the School for Wise Children has always been central to her company.
Mm.
You know, that was always there, and where they, which is amazing, and that you can apply to be on it, and they teach young adults and youngsters on how to make theatre in all its aspects. You know, and I can't think of anyone more equipped for that than Emma Rice.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's amazing to have that experience, but they're doing it now, I think, online. And they're doing all the aspects of it, making music for theatre, making movement and choreography for theatre, devising theatre, designing
theatre. I know, I was looking at the adapting and directing and the script writing. I was like, I'm going to get involved in that myself.
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
I was half thinking I might apply.
Yeah. Should we do it? Yay. I was thinking I might try and get Emma Rice to chat to me about all this. But I mean, it's so exciting what's coming out. Obviously, nothing is the same as actually, you know, being live on stage and being
of
at
course.
The theatre. But it's you know, at the end of the day, these are the creative people of the world, and so it's quite interesting seeing what's evolved over the last I think mostly over the last 3 weeks actually is where everything's sort of. Everyone's kind of settled into their right. This is me. This is where I am. What can I offer? Here it comes.
And, yes. And, it's taken a while for everybody to
adjust,
to accept and adjust. Mm. You know, because, you know, at first I was thinking, how can this happen? I thought this has got nothing to do with live theatre, you know. But at first there was a certain amount of resistance in me, kind of. Yeah, I had lots of requests for doing stuff, you know, and I thought, I'm sure nobody wants to hear me singing from my lounge. I thought, I thought, really? You know, but it's at the end of the day, one has to adjust, you know?
Mm.
You just get on with it for the time being. I mean,
at the end of the day, you're another day older.
Yeah. I'm going to say that again. I mean, you know, every day, my beard's getting greyer. That's a fact.
Did you do a live lounge concert-y?
No, I resisted.
Mm-hmm.
I did do a bit of Under Milkwood. Just a little bit. My old youth theatre in Wales kind of got about actually, they got about 50 people, and they did. We did the whole first speech of to begin at the beginning of Under Milton. And of course, the glorious and fantastic Michael Sheen is an ex-member of it, so he was on it. Another, but mainly like doctors, nurses, teachers. I mean, firemen. You know, the people who were in the youth theatre had gone on to do all sorts of
things. That's such a lovely idea.
So they were all involved in it, and we all had a couple of lines each, and somebody edited it together, and it was really quite
moving. Oh, that's so lovely. Do you know what? That's inspired me. That's made me think.
Yeah.
I might try and get my old youth theatre together to do something. We did Under Milkwood, but obviously it wouldn't have been as good as yours in Wales with the Welsh accents. Ours were like a little bit inconsistent. But that might be a great idea.
Yeah, bits of that. I don't mind speaking so much from my lounge. It's the singing it is that I, because it's so hard. I mean, some people have got all the equipment, you know, the microphones and the shields and the blah, blah, blah. I don't have any of that gubbins. So, I try to resist it if I can.
I mean, you kind of think, well, there's a lot of material out there where you're singing top-notch
stuff
in some fantastic. You're thinking, I'll talk about it.
I could talk you into the ground. Don't worry, it's good. It's fine.
But yeah, no, I get that, because it is an odd thing, and it's a bit like, you know, in many ways it's kind of like teaching online is one thing, and we're all giving it a really good shot, and each day we're kind of like, oh, did you know that you can do this now? And we're like, oh, there's a hands up feature, brilliant. It's like, right, hands up, rather than I'm just going to run down the register of like getting volunteers to speak, or so and so's mic doesn't work, or when that mic comes on, their background chicken pops up. This girl, we're in the middle of it. She's doing a presentation to me, and and I was like, what was that? She said, oh, that's my chicken, miss. I'm like, for real? She's like, yeah, that's Neville, my chicken. Consequently, it's like every week at Friday, I'm like, is Neville lined up to come in on your PowerPoint?
But
it's just quite funny. And then, you know, one kid pipes up and suddenly everything echoes and your voice feeds back to you. And then you're like, well, I won't go back to that student for a while until they've sorted out their mic. But it is a completely different world. And it's not the same as actually
being
in the space and seeing their faces and teaching.
Yeah,
properly.
I mean, particularly when it comes to children like that, it's really important for them, you know, to remember, you know, what it's like talking to people other than the only people that they're self-isolating with or whatever. Yeah. It's great. You have to. Got to adjust.
And completely different. I mean, if this had happened when we were children, it would have been, you know, it's like you'd all be lining up for the phone in the hallway.
I mean,
you'd be engaged. And you'd be like, I've not spoken to anyone. If you had a phone.
Oh, sorry. That was a long time ago.
It is crazy, though, to think, you know, whereas now that, you know, my son's, you know, he's a teenager, and so he can go on his game and chat to his friends while playing a game.
Yeah.
So essentially, they're not cut off from the world. They have they have that. I do feel, though, for the elderly that are in isolation that aren't tech savvy with even a phone that they can have photos sent to them on, where it's just a very basic sort of phone.
That's
kind of
right.
Thing. They can't actually do their online shopping. Things that we would take for granted. In you know,
that's right.
If we were at that age, but yeah, so exciting times. Yeah. So you're on Wise Children Digital tomorrow.
Yesterday, Tuesday.
All blend into one.
They all blend into one.
Wednesday.
But it's up there. They keep them all, you know, all the interviews, so you can go and listen to them anytime.
That's nice.
You know, which is nice, yeah. And they're great. They're so much fun and you know, just very interesting. You know, with all different aspects, not just the actors. You know, you've got the designers and the music makers, the musical director, and stage management, and all aspects of her, what that she uses to make theatre. you know, she's interviewed them all, so and is continuing to as well. So there'll be a lovely, lovely selection. And one day, if it's raining, you sit down and have a listen to that.
Well, it's great for me. It's resources for, you know, setting work that's a little bit more fun, because it does feel a bit like cover lesson for the students.
Yeah, sure.
So it's nice to say, go and listen to this and have a listen to my podcast where I chat to so-and-so, or go and watch this. And so as it is actually wonderful, but obviously at this time of year, I'd normally be booking all my September theatre trips. What are we going to see? And I'm like, okay, so we're going to watch this online and then watch this resource.
It's a bit different. Frustrating.
So frustrating. But I'm encouraging them all to be doing any Zoom workshops and things that are going on with their own theatre school, because everyone's just finding ways to make it work.
To just keep ticking.
Yeah, but this, you know, you've got a couple of things there, the set design things, the lighting design. I've got a couple of students that might be interested. I don't know whether there might be a starting age on the workshops. I'm not sure. So I'll find out and have a look at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so for you at the moment, you're just doing the Wise Children interviews and...
Well, yeah, and, you know, but there's not a huge... I mean, that doesn't take long in a day. I mean, you know, after that hour's up, what do you do with the rest of the 11 or 12? No, it's... I mean, I write as well.
Oh, do you?
Not theatre. Me and my writing partner, we finished our first screenplay in... Just by lockdown, so that timing was good.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit on the kind of back burner at the moment, because of course things went very, very quiet on everything. Filming and everything. So, but it's a horror suspense kind of mystery movie.
Exciting.
So that's finished, completed.
Well, if you ever need a random voice to just read stuff,
we might be doing that. And we've got the germs of our next one, which we're talking about. And I'm also working on this a sitcom that I've just started writing as well, which is to do with theatre. Yeah,
that we need that. I was thinking that the other day, because obviously
I think it's hilarious. But
of course,
but I would.
Good,
wouldn't I?
Good for you. Conviction in your own work. No, but I think that's great. I think we need more sitcoms.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of, you know, it's funny these days because you the genres and stuff. You know, everything is so sophisticated. Writing is so sophisticated these days. When I say sitcom, of course, one immediately thinks of the 70s, don't you? Or, you know, it's because it's never as simple as that.
I mean,
it's a drama, fun. It's a funny drama, sad. You know, it's like everything in it, isn't it? These days, when people write, you know, it's
1 minute we're weeping, the next minute it's
It's really like 6 half-hour, you know, episodes of a drama, really, I suppose, if anything. But yeah.
Oh, exciting! Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, I look forward to these.
Yeah.
Oh, well, take care of you. And
you too.
Just keep me informed with anything else that's coming up. I'm like, oh, there he is. He's on screen again. I'm not sure what Andrew Lloyd Webber's showing this week. I wonder if he'll pop up in
there. I wonder what he's showing this week.
It was Sound of Music. It's just been Cats before
All right, okay.
So I don't know. Because you were in Aspects of Love, weren't you? Maybe that one will pop
up. I was. God, yes.
Was that one filmed?
I think that's before they invented moving images.
Images.
I'm not sure whether they captured that.
That one would have been just an... that was probably before they said you had to have an archive, you know, as a...
I don't know. I wonder if they do have an archive of that. Don't know. No idea. Sunset Boulevard we did.
Oh,
yes. I was a bit later. Maybe they'll have an archive of that somewhere. But I guess that would be the one with Glenn Close, not with ours. if they ever did. It's so great to talk to you anyway.
Oh, you too. Well, take care. Good luck with you too. The sitcom and tweaking the screenplay and stuff. That's really exciting. I'll tune it, because you can listen to the back episodes, can't you? So I'll listen to yesterday's Wise Children, and definitely look into this summer school, because it looks like of 9 hours around a week, which I can probably, particularly the writing for theatre, I'm quite interested in. So exciting. Well, take care.
Well, let me know how you get on with that.
I will. Yeah. Take care, and speak to you soon.
Bye. Yeah, hey, thanks for chatting.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Bye.
A huge thank you to Gareth for our conversation. And this week, from the 19th of June until the 26th of June, Wise Children, the production by Emma Rice's company Wise Children, will be available for online streaming from the Old Vic Theatre. Also visit the Wise Children website, where you can find out about Emma Rice's lockdown. Here's Emma to tell us more about it.
I'm Emma Rice, the Artistic Director of Wise Children, and you're listening to Wise Children's Lockdown. Our lockdown project is about us finding ways of staying close to each other. On this show, I call up an old friend, play some records, and most importantly, get to chat and reminisce. Come and join us for tea and biscuits.
We are all missing theatre, and if you want to reminisce previous productions or find out something about a production you didn't get the chance to see, then why not listen to episodes 1 to 20 of Theatre Audience Podcast? In these you can find discussions on West End musicals such as Hamilton and Juliet, Mamma Mia, Come From Away, Les Miserables, Pretty Woman and Dear Evan Hansen, and plays such as Fleabag, Coming Clean, The Sun, Henry VI, Death of a Salesman, Endgame, Cyrano and Uncle Vanya. On most of these productions, I go backstage and interview actors and actresses, including Alice Fern, Patterson Joseph, Jonathan Broadbent, Mark Holden, Kirsty Hoyles, Mark Goldthorpe, Nari and Aaron Blair-Mangat, Rachel Tucker and Olivier Award nominee Lauren Ward. So there's plenty to keep you entertained over the coming weeks. In my educational episodes 23 and 24, Trapped Teaching the Tempest in Quarantine, I'm joined by several actors from the West End, the RSC and the National Theatre, who recorded monologues and duologues for me from Shakespeare's play, and then provide me with commentaries of how an actor prepares, linking this to the GCSE and A-level specifications to supplement my online drama teaching. And now for my finale and curtain call. Don't forget to watch Wise Children being streamed by the Old Vic Theatre on YouTube, and the National Theatre Live are showing Small Island. I'm very much looking forward to watching those this week. And as part of my Theatre in Quarantine series, in the next episode, I will bring you my Trapped Teaching Tempest, A Midsummer Night's Dream. So until the next time, stay safe. Please tune in next time and recommend us to all your friends and family. Follow us on Spotify, Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. And do send us any recommendations of things you think we should see and review. If you've enjoyed the show, then please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and leave us a little review. Until next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.